بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Around 79-80 was the last visit of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali to South Africa. In the course of the talk, it was around the time, if I remember correctly, Hazrat Mawlana Ansari Sahib had just lost his wife. So he had to come there to the street to offer the condolence and to conduct the masjid after Asr. He quoted Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh. He says, don't waste your time with two classes of people. One is a ghabi and the other is the ghawi. Ghabi is naturally retarded, he can't get things right, can't understand. You may explain to him 100 times over, but he's naturally challenged, so he can't get things right. So you'll just be breaking head and you won't get anything, and there are great chances of you getting frustrated with the person. Frustrated, worried, and you may become aggressive. So the better thing with such people is just go on moderately and calmly. If it is decreed for them, they'll come on time, come in on time. So moderately, at a casual, relaxed pace, you will get more out of them, but rather than burning yourself behind them. So that is the ghabi. And the second one is the ghawi. Ghay. Qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghay. Comes from that word. Ghay is the one that is off the course. Totally off the course. And strangely, the one that is off the course in current times is also called gay. What a word they choose for themselves. We didn't choose it, they chose it for themselves. So the second class of person is the ghawi. So what he meant by the ghawi, in my understanding, was he's decided to go on a path, whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you speak to him or don't speak to him. He's got a mind of his own. He's not going to relent. He's not going to come on cause. He's firm in his personality. So now, you're going to be breaking head. You're going to be frustrating yourself. But kitni martaba usko samjha rakha hun, lekin sunta hi nahi. I explained to him over and over again. But he won't just come right. So there's two classes of people. Don't pay attention. Meant for them, they'll come. If not meant for them, then you have done your duty. It's been good to them. But it's not meant for them. See, they chose a path for themselves. They chose a thought for themselves. A line for themselves. So they're going to go on that line. Now you're going to break head with them. What's going to happen? Imagine an ustad has got 20 students to teach, right? And he's breaking his head. Or a mentally challenged child, will you get anywhere? You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to hit him. You're going to become aggressive. Make it worse. Or the person is got a mind of his own. He doesn't want to conform. Then too, he's going to frustrate you. I'm telling him so many times, but he won't listen. I'm telling him for his own good, but he won't listen. So why frustrate yourself? You told him now, finish. Just be relaxed. Be calm. And move on, and you get more. Now, is it right that you burn out your energy ignoring the 19 children for this one person? Is it right? Now you concentrate on the bulk. Swanya, he'll come on his own time. So don't be worried about him. But now, there is left for the ghawi to think now that I'm wasting my time. I'm not coming online. and my time is being wasted. Every day is I'm coming nearer to my end. So I need to see that I'm coming on course. So the person that's spoken, he is not at a loss, because what he's doing is he's extending the da'wat. When he's extending the da'wat, so he's going to be rewarded for it. With good niyat, with a good heart, he's going to do his work, he's going to get the reward. But the recipient, he needs to understand that when he's hard in his way, then him being hard on his way is a loss for himself. But the person that is doing Islam, normally he knows what's going on. Allah Pak has given him an understanding. Ash-Shab is one of the students of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. And he quotes Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi saying, لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ كَسْرَةِ الْرِوَايَاتِ. Knowledge is not with the abundance of reports and information. Excite the crowd here, can thrill here, can give them peace of my mind here. So that's not knowledge. Unfortunately, people misconstrue that as knowledge. See, from all what we see and discuss, so what is desired, the thing that is desired, that you come onto the lines of taqwa. Leave out impermissible and haram or doubtful and come onto the right. The idea is not to load the person with information. I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. That's not the idea. Like when you're eating food, right? So the food, the intention, the desire is to build up a reasonable amount of energy that you can do your obligations, fulfill your work. The idea is not to excite yourself and impress yourself with a variety. Now, what's happening today is on a dastarkhan, on a table, we're impressing ourselves with the variety. See this, see this, and see this, and see this. So we're impressing ourselves with the varieties. And that was not the idea of the food. The food was to get some energy, some fuel, to move on. Now you're getting consumed on that. And then if you're going to get consumed with that, then you're going to get frustrated. Because now that of either frustrated, or either you become despondent, or you lose hope. You know, they don't value us. There's any rubbish that's present before us, they must eat it. But if you turn the mind around, and you said that the idea of the food was energy, so whether they cooked mug and masoor, or whether they cooked chops and braise, will be equally happy. All right, the excitement in the braai or something else will be more. But the idea that you're getting the fuel, you're getting the energy, that will bring that amount of satisfaction. And if you have allowed your mind to be drunken with this addiction, then you're definitely going to get, at some point, you become despondent or depressed. See what the kachra is giving us. See that? So minds have been confused from the whole goal. The goal was energy. So in the talk, you needed to energize yourself so that you could move on. Energize yourself that you were doing this that was not right, haram, impermissible, doubtful. So what was the whole idea? Refrain and move on. Refrain and move on. That was the whole idea. But if your idea was, the whole thought was, I get thrilled. It's when he talks too well. See the twang he's got in his speech, and the stories that he talk about, and the abundance of information he's got. See where he's quoting from here, he's quoting from this side, he's quoting from all over. Right? So you may be fascinated with the talk, but on your personal righteousness, have you progressed? So this is what Imam Malik Rahmatullah is saying, that لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ كَسْرَتِ الْرِوَايَاتِ. It's not because of the abundance of information. Unfortunately, this has become the taste of people, that we want some fascinating talk, something new, something different altogether. They don't want to hear the same story repeated. The idea is to repeat the same story, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ تَقَرَّرَ. You repeat that door, that's going to settle in your heart. Now, he's learned Surah Fatiha, and to give it in different styles and, you know, maqamat and different qiraats and all that. Right? More than that, is learn the Quran Sharif more and more. How much you can memorize. Then you can branch off perhaps on the different qiraats, etc. Right? But now you make that maqamat and the style, the presentation, the more important thing, then people that are listening, are they listening to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they're more worried about your performance and your presentation? So, must they be more concerned about you or about the word of Allah ta'ala? That word of Allah ta'ala must go deep into the system. Alright, they'll enjoy the presentation and the recitation. But that's by the way. What must really impress them, what must go in the hearts, is this is the word of Allah ta'ala. That must go deep, must sink deep into my heart. That is the whole idea. So Imam Malik rahmatullah, we were speaking about him, said, لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ كَسْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ. His student Ashab, he quotes this from Imam Malik directly. So then what is ilm? إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ نُورٌ يَدَعُوا اللَّهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Is a special light that Allah Ta'ala inserts into the heart. So now, why do they liken the knowledge as ilm? See, understand it in perspective, then you appreciate it. See, you appreciate things, then proportionate to how much you appreciate is your love. And if you didn't recognize appreciation, before appreciation is recognizing, then appreciation, then love. Three steps. So, to understand this, first you recognize, then appreciate, and then you become in love with it, right? Now imagine this whole masjid was filled with one, say there was a thing like $1 million bill, right? And the whole masjid was filled to capacity with $1 million bills, right? No, you can't even put one ant inside. So squashed in, right? Now someone that doesn't have the marifat, the understanding of the bill, right? They say, "Acha hua ye kagazat aa gaye, warna hamare paas chai pakane ka koi saman nahi tha. Came at the right time. We didn't have anything to prepare our tea. Now the paper came, so we can use it as fuel to prepare our tea." So he's got some recognition of people, hasn't he got? But has he got the right recognition? Has he got the proper recognition? Yeah. So because he doesn't have the proper recognition, he doesn't bond with it so well. Someone, I think, burned down, it's alright. People got burned, so what? Alright, it's better now that paper's gone, that the place is empty, you can use it for something else. So that is the person who didn't acquire the proper, complete recognition of things. Now, you tell him, you know, $1 million bill, I think is 20 million rands. And you know what you can do with 20 million rand? You know what you can do with it? You can buy 10 Corollas, or 20 Corollas, you can buy brand new out of the box. And I say, you jump up, hey, what? I let you go there. Hey, now you have 10 securities around the place, you fence the place up, you'll be so careful about the whole thing. He may be fortunate not to get a heart attack to understand what he's acquired, what he's secured. Right. See how his whole sabo, his whole response has changed. Why? From the point of recognition. He recognized it. So recognition brings about appreciation. Before that recognition, it was just paper. Now you got recognition, and the recognition brought about appreciation. See that? So you can leave. We all left India to come here for better pastures, right? So we recognize the place. When we recognize the place, that made us make a major move in our lives. First was recognition. That recognition brought us here. And then when you recognize, you got the marifat, then from that point onwards, now you're in love. Now you can't leave. Can you leave now? Before marriage, you just heard about the girl, right? You heard about her ways, qualities, too beautiful, she's too good in what she's doing. It's in a branch off, right? A little bit. This is a zamana, this is a day of doubts and suspicion. It's a day where people's suspicions are triggered very, very easily. So now, more than ever, we need to be careful. More than ever. Even in things that are of a suspicious nature, we keep away. So now, talking of real stories, right? So, one woman, she had an advert, right, of a dress or something. So someone, in good faith, he just, you know, if you have a group, a media or whatever, and you put a message. So he put a message, beautiful. Now, the response of the girl was, but don't flirt. He says, I had no intention to flirt with this girl, yeah, but that was her response. Now when the story came before me, I said, both are wrong. The girl is wrong, and the man is wrong as well. The girl is wrong, why? But why did she have to put that cloth in a public area? With herself. Herself is there. She put on the dress, right? Now, why did she have to do this? Why did she do this? Everybody knows that a man's natural response to something beautiful is excited, is interest. Why did she have to do this? Was it right of her? She said, no, I was just advertising my product. Had you intended only to advertise your product, then there was no need to put your picture there. Why did you put your picture there? So she acted with suspicion as well. Right? And the man was also wrong, because he knows that word, beautiful, can be misconstrued in one way or the other. So you see this area of suspicion have become too broad. And Rasulullah was advised. See, the recent advice is always comprehensive, complete, on the mark. So you can't go beyond that. Right? It's the advice of the Prophet, it will be on the mark, it's on the mark, it will remain like that. So, don't put your 2 cents worth on the words of Rasulullah. Now, just branching a little bit, right? It's not good to mention the name, but now, Mirsad says it openly that Rasulullah had done a little bit of an elaborate preparation in the nikah of Zainab bint Jahash radiyallahu anha. Right? So because of that, he had to go through a lot of difficulty. So what was the walima? He slaughtered a sheep or a goat, and he fed the guests, right? So now, if that was not the sunnah, and Nabi Sallam did it, right, then look at another hadith which says, it was Jabir radiyallahu anhu, awlim walaw bi, is Jabir or Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, awlim walaw bi shatin. Perhaps it was that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, awlim walaw bi shatin. He did it and he commanded it. I will answer that. So now today, you know, you get someone now to come and say that I need to correct Nabi Sallam also. So he's now an authority above Nabi Sallam to correct him. And then that you want to respect that person. How are you going to respect the person? So someone will say, no, see now, this free-mindedness, that's gripped everybody's brains. So everybody's got his 2 cents to say, but no, but that's an old story now, why bring it up now? What? It's an old story, so why bring it up now? Yes, it's an old story. We would have not brought it up if there was a proper, correct retraction. Retracted, made a mistake, I made a blunder, finished, we buried the story, over. We'll kiss his hands, we'll kiss his forehead for the tawbah that he's made. But he's making a statement and he's following a retraction. Now he retracted. Who made a retraction? Is it exactly the case of Judaism and Christianity? So first, the Christian, he hated the guts of the Jew because they say he assassinated him, right? They put him to the cross, they say. We don't say that. But they say he assassinated our Nabi, so our God he assassinated, so we hate the guts. So the Jews said, no, all right, We sorry about it. So now the modern day Christians say, no, we accept your apology. So who committed the crime? The Jew that said. And who's accepting the apology? Today's Christian. Ullukapatta. So who's committed the crime? He must make the retraction. He committed the crime and I'm saying, sorry. Is it standing to logic and reasoning? So you committed the crime, have the decency of making a proper retraction. Now if you speak about it, then you see, you know, you're making ikhtilaf. Now, I remember when you were in the 70s in Dioban, right? Maududi was at his height. I couldn't believe, good ulama were also getting driven away, right, in the 70s. Then as all the senior ulama wrote against him, then the public opinion against Maududi just changed. And his ilm was far more than Maududi Saad. If you look at his writings, the content was far greater and less severe than what he's saying. Saad is saying something, and Maududi's words were not as serious as his words. But all the senior ulama, the Shaykh, the Tami Sabram, the Brother Madani, everybody wrote out against him. Everybody wrote out against him. Why? Because he had made a statement that you don't count anybody above criticism. Kisiku balai tanqeed na samjo. Don't count anybody as above criticism. So you can criticize the Anbiya, criticize the Sahaba Kiram, criticize anybody, it's alright. See that? Now that's an indication ke uski akal mas ho gayi. That's an indication that his brain is off now. Allah Ta'ala has removed the proper understanding. The brain is not working right, not functioning right. It's distorted. The brains are distorted. Because how can you now criticize Anbiya, then Sahaba Kiram, then Ulama Kiram? That means there's something definitely wrong with his mind. Then, when there's something wrong with the mind, you're not supposed to be giving such a person a public platform. The mind is gone. So what is wrong? He's a Hazrat, so why? So now, the problem in allowing such persons, like what Mawlana from London has said, was it Mawlana? Can I remember? Huh? Salim Dorat, yeah. So you're going to give him a platform, right? He's going to distort the minds of all the audience. And the audience is going to say that this masjid allowed his talk. So he's appearing on video. Accept it now. He's coming here. So what? So what has happened to the minds of people? So now, minds of people, well, you can speak out against the Anbiya, Sahaba, Kiram. It's all right. He's such a senior person. He's speaking out against them. So if we do speak out against the Anbiya, so what's wrong? See how the mind. So then what's left of the Anbiya? What's left of your deen? What's left of the Sahaba Ikram? Anything left? Because your whole deen is supported on the structures of the Sahaba Ikram. And then you demolish them, finished. When you demolish them, then is there anything left of deen? Anbiya, you demolish them, you broke them down. So is there anything left of them? Nothing left. Then what was the need to call such a person? Bring the person here. So, we get our facts right in perspective. So this is an indication that the noor of the heart has been obliterated, is wiped out. When the noor of the heart is obliterated, you can't see wrong. You can't distinguish wrong from right. See, I was giving you the definition of ilm, right? But there's another definition of ilm according to the manatiqa. The other definition is, ilm will have three things. One is, it will relate to things that are intangible, you know, abstract. Can't see it. Because what you can see is visible. You can see it, right? You don't have to have knowledge to see it. You can see it, right? So knowledge, one of the aspects is will be relating to umur and ma'anaviya, abstract things, intangible things, right? Number two, the second thing it will have, it will be distinct. Like one is distinct from two, isn't it? Can anybody make a mistake with one and two? Can't. So one wife or two wives, can you make a mistake in that? Can't make a mistake. So it will be distinct it will relate to things that are of an abstract nature. You can't see it. Right? And the second thing. There's a third side of it also. I'm just trying to think what is the third definition. But this is a definition of ilm. Coming back to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and his definition of ilm. So he says, laysatil ilmu an kasrati riwayat. It's not an abundance of information. Missed it. Understand now, you're giving a Jummah talk, you're giving a public talk, giving an Ijtimah talk, giving a Wifaq talk, whatever talk. What was the idea? To get them onto itaat and move them out from ma'asiyat and transgression. That's all khulasa. Is there anything more? Was it to fascinate them, impress them? No. That's not the idea. To get them onto itaat. That was the whole idea. Right. So then he says, inna ma huwa nurun. It's a light. Yada'u Allahu fil qalb. So now, to be able to see things in perspectives, in perspective, you need to have this physical eye. If you don't have this physical eye, can you see things in perspective? Or can you see things? You can't see things. Forget seeing things in perspective, you can't even see. So, for you to be able to see, you'll have to have light. Isn't it? If this place is covered with darkness complete, absolutely. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَ. You can't see even your own hands. It's so dark. So, visibility requires light. Without light, can there be visibility? Can't be. So exactly the same, the brain also, the brain, for the visibility of the brain, of the intelligence, it requires light. If it's got this light, then you'll see things in perspective. But there's no light, right upstairs, can you see things in perspective? Can you see it? Can't see it. Because there's no light. That light has been either extinguished or it's blocked off. If it's blocked off, or it's extinguished, can you see things in perspective? Can't see. Why you can't see? Because the light is either extinguished or it is blocked off. And one of these things happens, then khatam Allahu ala qulubim, Allah put a seal, now you can't see it. You can't see. Now you try your best, but you can't. You won't be able to see it when Allah Ta'ala Himself has put off a seal, right? Coming to the word seal, you know. So this is a majlis, now you talk of ashtar, a lot of things you talk of. As it appears in the mind. So one person saw in the dream that he's sealing up people's mouths and the private areas. Seal your stamp. Put a stamp. Of all places, which place is putting up? Mouth and the private area. So now he asked the senior interpreter, I don't know, Muhammad bin Sirin, whoever, he asked, what is the meaning of this dream? That I'm putting a seal, a stamp, on the mouth and on the private area. He said, are you a muazzin? He said, yeah. He said, well, that's the meaning of the dream. How do you relate? Because you are calling out the azan, stopping people from eating and anything else. Because they're fasting, aren't they? So who's stopping them? So what the seal does? The seal closes it up, isn't it? When the seal closes it up, so you're calling the azan, you're sealing them up from eating and any type of sensual pleasure. So that's the meaning of the dream. What he must have thought, hey, what am I doing? And what it turned out to be. So anyway, we're talking about this. إِنَّمَا هُوَ نُورٌ يَدَعُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُلُوبِ. Now the third question will be, alright, the different types of ilm. So let's talk about only about three or four types of ilm, basic. One is called wahi. Right. Now, wahi is a message that is discreet and that is inserted into the heart of the anbiya. Inserted. Ruham min amrina, right? Ruham min amrina. So Allah inserted. But now, the message that Allah inserts in a Nabi, it can never be inaccurate. It's accurate, it's precise. There can be no mistake. That's the message that Allah sends to Nabi. It's absolutely accurate, on the mark. There can be absolutely no mistake. in the receiving or the understanding of the wahi. We will not misinterpret. He'll say, he'll be accurate. Like, for example, if you are here, right, sitting at that spot, I ask you, what's the distance between you and the wall? You'll say 1 meter. Anything more or less, no. Approximately, exactly 1 meter, right? Because you're so close to the wall, you'll say, it's not more than 1 meter, right? So that's the ilm of a nahi, is accurate, on the mark, is no two ways about it, it's on the mark. But now, a wali will not have wahi, he will have ilham. So he's also inspired, that's also an inspiration, but that inspiration is different to a wahi. That wahi, that message that wali will receive is an inspiration, but the inspiration, right, is going to be interpreted by the wali. And he can make a mistake in his calculation. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sahib Nawrawi Rahmatullah had fallen seriously ill, very seriously ill. Hazrat Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah was the second most responsible in Deoband, the Qutub, the Mufti, the Muhaddis, and everything, and the Ustad was Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he announced, Mawlana will not die in the sickness. And he died in the sickness. He had some pneumonia or something, and he passed away. So he says, no, ilham mein to koi galti nahi. That message that I received from Allah, that was not a mistake. The mistake was my calculation. Right? So how was it that I mistaked, I stumbled in the calculation? What I was shown was Mahdi. So I added the alphabets would go up to about over 75 something, right? When I added the alphabets, it's got a numerical value, right? Every alphabet got a numerical. So when I added it up, it went more than 75, right? Like how you say, you know, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and you have 786, got a numerical value, right? So this also has got a numerical value, so it added up to more than 75. So something will pull through. But thereafter I discovered, no, that was not intended. What was intended was the age of Imam Mahdi. So Imam Mahdi was about 49 when he passed away, and the Muqasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, so that was the conformity. So he may make a mistake in the calculation, but the Nabi, he won't make a mistake in the calculation, nor in the message. It will be accurate, precise, absolutely right. No mistake. Right? Someone may ask, what about Sulh Hudaybiyah, right? The dream was, لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ, right? So the Sahaba Kiram proceeded, but it was decreed for them to come for Umrah the next year. But they went this year, right? So, most of the Sirat Ulama Kiram, when they write on this, they say that there was a mistake in the determining the date that this will happen. And I say there's no mistake. I haven't seen this in any kitab. It's no mistake. So how can you say that it's no mistake when they all left Medina Munawara with the purposes of Umrah? I say, see, the whole world works with procedures. Doesn't work with procedures. I say, this woman will be your wife. Right? But now when I say this woman will be your wife, right? So won't there be a procedure? There'll be a procedure, you'll say I'm of age now, then you'll first consult your parents, Abba, now, you know, I think I'm of age now. You won't say direct, say I'm of age, you know, see my moustache is coming up and all. So first you play with your father or your mother a little bit, see how they're responding, right? And then your father is not taking you too seriously, you say, well, you know what now you need to settle me now. You know, that's a easier way, right? Father is a little bit strict, mother will be a little bit soft, so you go that way. But all this takes time, it's a procedure, right? Then after the mother has settled now, alright, this boy needs to get married, then they'll go for the samosa runs, right? So will that happen overnight? No, it'll be a month, 2 months, you see one girl, second, you finally you settle on the third, right? Then after that, after the samosa run, then you send for a proposal. Then they'll take about 2-3 weeks to do the homework and all the inventory on the person. And after about 3-4 weeks, they'll give an answer, right? I'm not talking about karamas, right? Karamas can happen today, morning, evening, everything is sorted out. Like before, in the 80s, 90s, right, there was no visa for Hajj. You just buy your ticket, you jump the plane. India, just buy your ticket and go to the plane. Now, it's a whole procedure, isn't it? It's different now. So anyway, the 2-3 months will pull. Then they'll settle for the marriage, nikah, right? When will be the nikah, when will be the walima, etc. It's another 1-2 weeks, right? So, that buzur told you'll get married, right? But you misconstrued it'll happen now. So, the Sahabi kiram went, why they went, they had to follow a procedure. The procedure was, if you look at the whole story, the procedure was that Rasulullah didn't want to have any bloodshed in Makkah Mukarramah. No, without a bloodshed, he was going to Makkah Mukarramah. Alam yaro anna ja'alna haraman amina. It's a place of aman. So, I don't want any type of bloodshed. In an extreme case, it would be different. Otherwise, we'll avoid every type of bloodshed. But in order to get there, they have to go through a procedure. Then they have to sign an agreement, etc. Then you're coming the next year, etc. So that was a procedure. But now, like I say, in this world, things to materialize, they are procedures. It'll come, but it'll come in time. So the time requires that it's a procedure. You go for 4 months, right? When you give your name for 4 months, you go straight away. You know. Then you have to go for the ID first. If you don't have ID, that'll take about 2-3 weeks for the ID to come. Then you have to apply for a passport. And you want a long-term passport, not a short-term passport. It'll take another 3 months, right, to come. Eventually you go. So you had your intentions and you were supposed to be going, but you leave after 3-4 months. So you are going to get the sawab for it, but it's just a procedure. So this whole Hudaybiyah incident was a procedure. That procedure, Allah Ta'ala had worked it out, and maybe some ardent desire was there must be no bloodshed. You go in without any bloodshed. So now we're talking of wahi and ilham, right? The difference, right? Then there's a third type of ilm. That ilm is called firasat. Hadith says, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min fa'innahu yanzuru binurillahi ta'ala. So be careful of the sight of a believer. Be careful of the sight of a believer. Because he sees through the light of Allah Ta'ala. Right. Now, then you want to know, right? I showed you what is wahi, right? How it happens exactly, that Allah Pak knows. There's 5 different types of wahi. In Bukhari Sharif, students normally come across that, right? The different types of wahi. Ilham, I showed you, is just a discrete message that is sent to a friend of Allah Ta'ala, right? The difference between wahi and ilham, I showed you. Then the third level of knowledge is called firasat. Firasat is translated as sight, vision, right? Now, what's the difference between firasat and ilham? Firasat is you recognize something through signs and symptoms, right? Some signs and some symptoms, right? Like sometimes you see a person, right? You see a person, you can make out this person is retarded, right? But he didn't tell you, or you haven't yet spoken to him, but you saw the facial expression, and he's an autistic, or he's retarded, you can make it out. Can't you make it out? Just from the symptoms. You see a person, right? From the face you can make out, he's got asthma. You can see it from the person. I know, sort of karamat, right? 1964 somewhere. We had a bookkeeper, Ahmad Bhai Jiwa, was Yahya's granduncle, right? So he passed away. I went for the janazah to see his face for that. He was young, 64, 65. I said, this man here, he must have passed away with asthma. The absolute youngster. And it turned out that he did pass away. One of the few people in the whole Swingo who had a beard, nice beard here. So it's a firasat. You see the face and you make out something, right? This person here, and perhaps this was the cause of his death, right? So, a doctor can see it also. A doctor will see some signs, some symbols, and he'll make out, alright, this may be the possible cause for this person's passing away, right? So you see something, but with some symptoms, some signs, and you'll make out that this is the person. I was in one dawat. So I'm seeing one person. So I'm telling my friend, this person is sick. I didn't say anything further than that. He looked normal, eating, joking. And I didn't want to say the next word. It seems like this person is going. He said, your dawat, he's not right. And in 1 month, he passed away. So it's not by karamat, it's some symptoms you see, right? And from the symptoms, you can make out. Now you don't come and ask me now, I'm going to continue or I'm going to die. Don't ask that question. Good. Some people come and ask these type of questions. So one person said, his father was late and mother was still around, right? Mother was around, father was late. So he saw his father brought a set of jewelry. You know, Janha. You know, that's Janha. So I knew exactly what it means. So may Allah keep your mother right. So in a few days, mother passed away. So I knew what you were saying, but you couldn't say it. The link is obvious, right? The link is obvious, right? So with some signs and symptoms, you come to some conclusions, and that's not it's not a karamat, it's just a sign, like you get qiyafa shanas. Signs and symptoms, you make out, this is the father, this is the son, you can make it out, right? So now, the question is then, this firasat, alright, this understanding, your proper, nice, deen, sound understanding. Right? One is superfluous, and I showed you, dollar, marifat, right? From marifat, from understanding comes appreciation. From appreciation comes love, right? This is the whole connection. So when you ask, that's what you're supposed to be asking, marifat and love, right? So when you understand things in perspective, right, in the words of Hazrat Maulana Taimi Sahib Rahmatullahi, then what people will get through big mujahada, you'll get it in a few moments. In a few moments you'll get it, but that is, you must have the right recognition. Like you got the recognition of a dollar, right? Now, you know it is, right? You know how to get it. Simple, right? Press this button and you get the thing. The other person will have to go through a great mujahada to get the same thing. But this person knows exactly how to access that thing. So in a second he can get what you will take years to earn. You will take you years to earn and you will get it in a second. So now, we're talking of firasat and then how to improve on that, right? How to improve on that. Now that lesson, I've been discussing all the time. But I just reconfirm it when I check in the kitab. So I'm reconfirming. Now how are you going to get that firasat? Look after your eyes. See that? Look after your eyes. Because all this haram starts off from the eyes. Whether it is woman, whether it is girlish features, or whether it is people's wealth. Because eyes, these are the two areas of danger, right? Woman, girlish features, or people's wealth. لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَمُتَّعْنَا. That's where your mind doesn't work. Hey, he became a super lani. Where he came? Where he came from? How he came? See, I'm still backwards, I'm still in the same spot. And see this. Kalka bacha, kis tarah se tarakki kar gaya. How he made it? So all the wrongs come when you admire people's wealth. And when you admire the people that are lower than you, you look at them, then you feel very, very satisfied with what you have got. But you keep looking at higher horizons and see how he climbed up. So you're never satisfied. You're always in want. You're never satisfied. Now that's a problem. Then you can't think. Since firasat, I'm talking about firasat, you can't think. My brother got it, I can't, I don't have it. My cousin got it, I don't have it. Yeah. So that fight will be a constant battle in your mind. And you can't talk about it because you know it's embarrassing. People say, you're greedy, you don't have contentment, you're not satisfied. So therefore you can't express yourself. See that? So one is look after your eyes. All these problems, they start off from this eyes. They betray the person, they hurt the person, they bust the person, everything happens. But at which point? From the eyes. Eyes will not get its satisfaction. The robbery takes place, the stealing, the deception, the extramarital affairs, everything starts from the eyes. extramarital affairs, everything. For the eyes. Big governments collapse. Ministers collapse. Eyes. Fell in some girl or something, and then someone was blackmailed, and then you maneuvered the person. Doesn't it happen? Why? Don't play with his eyes. It's too dangerous. It's too precious, and it is too, too dangerous. Too dangerous. You know how it will. Another Sheikh is in a story. One person is on the deathbed, and they are prompting him to recite the kalima, and the kalima will not just come out from his mouth. But he's talking normal, but they want him to recite the kalima, and the kalima will not just come out of his mouth. So someone asked him, "But what happened?" He says, "You know, when I was some years ago, I was selling some commodity, and it was a young girl, too pretty, you know, and just to steal glances, sensual pleasure, I was trying to prolong the whole bargain, you know. And say, I can show you something else, what about this, what about that?" But that was not the idea. The idea was to take some glances, just put my hand somewhere on her hand, you know. Tere haathon mein churi pehna do. What happens after that? Kya hota hai uske baad? Don't underestimate this thing. The way this thing will smash you down, you won't know, you'll regret the day you were born. Really, really, I tell you. You'll really regret the day you were born. It just starts off with a small, just testing. And then it's disaster. And the business goes, you go, your reputation is gone, everything is lost. So don't start this button yet. Whatever it is. See, the hadith is so accurate. Look after your eyes, don't seclude. Look after your eyes, don't seclude. Whatever happens, don't seclude. Reputation will go, everything will go. And worse, there are some people now, they may seem to be very, very innocent, right? But when you're doing something like this, they just snap you nowadays. And then you blackmail. I know cases come here. Talking about all experience. And they set a trap for the person, caught him, because they knew he's a little bit loose when it comes to these type of matters, he's loose. So now, they just snapped him. Now, they're milking the person. But we start off now. Now if they send this viral, his wife, his son, they'll kick him. They'll blast him. Won't it happen? But what gave him up is the eyes. So now this person is saying that what happened to me was this girl came. And she, you know, I was just overwhelmed. For that moment, I was just overwhelmed. Not in myself. Lekin, kisne ka, dekhne ko kisne ka? Who asked you to look? We asked you to lower your sight. But why did you look at the person? Why did you seclude yourself? Why? You saw that it was not for you to see. You just move away, straight away. Move away. Close your eyes. And the easiest thing I found is at that time think, you know, that vomit is coming out from top. Underside is coming, all the julabs are coming out. It's reaching from the east to the west, everywhere. It's coming all julab. Julab and all the qay is coming out. Vomit is coming out. And it's blood and plus coming out from the hair and everywhere. And see how nice feeling you'll have. At that time, you just have the feeling. Especially now if you're in town or you have to go through all these things here. So you think that all that feelings will just leave you. But now you allow this thing to move on, then at the most crucial point it'll come and disturb you. Say, now, I want to read, it's in my mind, it's in my heart. But you know what I saw, what I did in the shop? Today that thing is coming between me and the kalima. That thing is blocking me off. But you see how dangerous this is. How dangerous. We consider it as a mild thing. But how dangerous. I know one man, he may be a great grandfather, he's about 79, 80, he's right. So he tells me, you know, people say, what's wrong in reciting the Quran Sharif from the phone? So I was surprised. So I don't know how to use the phone. Right? So one man comes to tell me, I don't read the Quran Sharif from the phone. So innocently asked him, but why? So you don't know Mullah. You know, you're doing Yasin, he's telling me, already Jahil Abhi. So you know Yasin, and that thing just snaps up, just pops up. Then, in the midst of the Yasin, and this thing just pops up. Then, what happens to your recitation? If I go on the original way, And don't risk your iman. You took that one glance. You took that glance, and the glance is not saying hello. You're going to see something more. Something more. Something more. And then, and one day, if you are dead or something happens to you, your wife sees through it. And then what happens? All these things I'm talking about is what I'm going through and listening to every day. All these stories you're listening to, all the time you're listening to. You'll be surprised. Sometimes the woman gives their names also. This person here is Hafiz Saab, whatever, right? But they give their names also. Now, if you just block it out, because now Sattar, on one side you have to hide the person's fault. But until which point, when you'll open up your brains, when will you do that? As the Shaykh writes one place, one person was too handsome, you know. So as he's going to his madrasa or masjid, there'll be girls throwing roses, you know. Yeah, roses. Diamonds are forever, roses are for you. See, throwing roses. Now he's restricting himself. Until one day, he had to cut through to go through the madrasa or to masjid to some type of an orchard, right? So as he just entered, the thing went and he locked up. So that girl said, "So I've been throwing these roses at you all the time. And I'm so drunken with your love, you know. So I just close my eyes and you are there. I get up in the morning with your memories. You know, the whole day passes with just you in my mind. Now I can't resist this thing, you know. Please, for Allah's sake, just." So he said he doesn't know what happened to him, but he scaled that fence 3 meters, 4 meters, he scaled it. Asmua will tell you the story, yeah? How you fired at that, how he jumped up. How many meters was it? 3 meters, yeah? How he jumped up. So, what a level of iman this person must have had to just jump off 3 meters. He just jumped off. Anyway, now he's performing his namaz, and now he's seeing his mind is all clouded. So he took out a pen and a paper, and he writes, "See, girl, Ben, you commit this wrong for the first time, then Allah Pak is Rahim, Ghafoor Rahim, He'll overlook. Second time, I'll give you a warning. But then you persist for the third time, then He'll expose you. And then the heaven with its vastness, it will not be able to accommodate you. The earth with its vastness, you'll feel restricted." I say, "I got everything, but I feel restrained, I feel restricted, I feel confined." Why? See, misuse. But we started it up at this point. So, for your own sake, for your respect, for the respect of your children, of your family, etc., don't interfere with this thing. Padma Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had one murid, do all the khidmat and all that. So, a lot of khidmat he's doing. But on the side, he fell in love in Gangohi with some girl. Doban, you know, Doban, Washington Road. He fell in love. Love is blind, isn't it? He fell in love now. So now, I don't know why I'm speaking about this. My mind was going on something else, and it just branched off. So he fell in love with this girl. And when he fell in love now, see, our appointment is so-and-so date at this time. And Al-Kareemu idha wa'ada wafa. See, he made a promise that I have to respect now, you know, meeting at such a place, such a date, all that. Everything is confirmed, right? So he went to do the khidmat at night, he used khidmat for 1 hour, pressing the legs, putting the oil, everything. And now, he saw Mu'ay sleeping now. And when he saw Mu'ay sleeping, he just sneaked out of the khanka, slowly sneaked out. As he's sneaking out, he just put 1 foot off the khanka, then he sees he's thundering. But he says, "Now, Al-Kareemu idha wa'ada wafa, you know, what should you think of me? I made a promise, and I'm not keeping up with the promise." He took the next step, he says, "It's lightning also, thundering and lightning. And now it's becoming serious, coming like a rain, like heavy rain." He said, "Hey, in the summers in India, normally, you sleep in the outside." You haven't seen that, right? In the outside, put your tikka charpai, live in the outside. He said, "Now, hey, It'll be raining just now, and I'm not around to carry Molana's charpai to the close to the covered area. What happened just now? So he rushed off to see everything is right there, and that girl rushed to home because it was so heavy rain and all that, right? Thunder and all that. People get up. When they'll get up, the house people get up, they look, ye kaha gayi? Where she's gone. So she's ran for cover, and he has run for cover. And meanwhile, Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, when he came in, he's sitting like he's in muraqabah. Anyway, he sat down. Mullah never diverged. All Mullah did was, you know, imtihanat, you need to be a little bit firm. It's all tests and trials. You need to be firm. Don't give up, right? But that person left the Khanqah with the Khilafat. So when I saw this story, I thought to myself, right, the button to press most in this whole path is the button of humility. See, when he went right rock bottom, and he understood now, Mullah must have seen something. So he was making muraqabah for what? Making muraqabah for me to get into a little bit of a panic and to come in. And for her to get into panic and to take cover. Right? So that muraqabah worked out for her and for me, and left it out. But now don't expect that I'll do something like that. That was about Gagui Rahmatullahi. He was a different... He's a different person. The world can't, I don't think the world can produce a man now like him, like Imam Bukhari. Like it's like virtually impossible for the world to produce a person like that. So same with this type of awliya, they're too high. You can't even think how high they were. But we don't know of them. We don't know their writings. We don't know of them. So we think, okay, Hindu chindi kya hai? Look at the Arabic now. Look at Arabic. That's a craze. But if you compare their writings to many of the people, ulama of 1,000 years, you would see, hey, these people 1,000 years ago and this person here is now, his writings in many cases are better at a higher level than this person here. But you see what knowledge Allah Pak blessed. 1,000 years ago, this people, look at their writings, maybe it's Urdu, whatever it is, and look at the Arabic statement. Are you underrating them because they wrote in Urdu, not in Arabic, so it's not authentic? But don't look at the wording, don't look at the language, look at the weight of the argument. Look at the weight of the argument this side, look at the weight of the argument that side, and you compare. You compare a fair comparison, hey, they are gone, ways ahead, miles ahead they gone. So anyway, we're talking of this firasat and how that firasat builds up. So the first was the eye. Right? You know, every day I must get a phone, I must get an email about abuse, you know, the phone. So much of abuse, so much of marital problems into the marriage, marriage breaking up, this country, overseas countries, India, Pakistan, and the amount of problems, but all this is stemming from the phone. Most of it, 99% from the phone. I say, buy for your own iman, just buy the small little phone, innocent little thing, and your iman will be safe. You can get a smart thing. It may be smart, but it will definitely confuse you. Ali Khan, a lot of jokes he used to give, you know. He says, how do you confuse a chameleon? Throw him in a Smarties box. Remember that Ali Khan, very active in Jamaat. So this thing will, the smartphone will confuse you, right? Iman, everything will go. Everything will go. For your iman's sake, I don't play with this. Not a thing to be experimenting with. Iman is not a thing to experiment. Iman is the most precious commodity you've got. So do your best to look after this. This man is saying to me, he's looking at the Yasin Sharif, and he just pops up. Now what happened to your recitation? Boy, make up your mind. Boy, I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala. I don't want any contamination to this. Nothing is haram, but you know the contamination and you know the game that they're playing with you. So don't risk your iman. Don't risk this thing. So the first is the eye. The second, to build up that firasat, you know, your understanding, so you can see things in perspective, especially in this age and time, you need to be able to see things properly, correctly. Right. Second thing is the tongue. Tongue is two things. One is what you speak about, and one is what you consume. These are two things that will complicate your mind. The whole mind will be shattered. What you're eating, and what you're talking about. Someone now, they only worried about halal, and not worried about the choice of the words. So you're hurting someone, you think that things will happen. So you will be concerned about the use of the words, and the consumables, both. Don't worry about it. And the third is the ear, right? That you're not listening to any junk or anything that is confusing, any complicating music or ghibat or gossiping. But now someone will ask, how does it relate to firas? I said, it's very easy. See, if your mind is gone into this thing here, you can't reason right. Now you look at a situation in business, right? You're a partner, and now you got your self-interest and you got the interest of the partnership. So now, you got a wholesale on one side, and you got a partnership running. So you will tell the partnership that this article must be bought from my shop. I ask you, your reasoning is right. This article, right? Buy it from my shop for the partnership. So you know, this person is not thinking fairly for the partnership. I mean, he can't see the wrong. I sat in meetings that these things were discussed. And you see, it's so clear, it's so clear. But he can't understand the wrong in it. See, he can't understand. Why he can't understand? See, the reasoning is gone. See that he's got his personal interest against the interest of the partnership. So his reasoning is flawed. When his reasoning is flawed, obviously the firasat will no more be with you.